Good evening. Are you feeling transformed yet? We've been talking about it all year. This is the last lesson of the summer series of the 12 marks of a transformed life. I don't know if you are, but I've definitely been transformed. Studying for humility, I'm probably the most humble person here tonight. Actually, the reason why, you know, when Doug sent out the list of things to talk about and topics, I chose this one because I knew it's one that I needed to study on and needed to work on. Whenever Rachel asked me what my topic was, and I told her, humility, you know, she gave me that look that wives sometimes give their husbands, like, you know, you need that look. So my studies and everything I say tonight is definitely going to be talking to myself, and I would definitely welcome feedback. Hopefully we'll have some good discussion tonight. You can turn to Romans 12 if you're not already there. Do you ever pray for humility? Sometimes, as I was, been thinking about it over the past few weeks and start praying for humility, but sometimes I'm kind of scared to pray for humility, thinking about the different ways or things that could happen to humble myself or for God to humble me. So I found myself more often praying the prayer, help me to humble myself, like kind of what we just sang, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Because I think if we're not able to humble ourselves, then God will have to humble us. Either in this life, like for example with Paul, when Paul says he was given a thorn in the flesh so that he would not, you know, think too highly of himself. So that became my prayer. It's been my prayer over the past couple of weeks, you know, that I can humble myself instead of having to be humbled by God. I've got some different translations up on the screen of our verse tonight. We're in verse 16 of chapter 12. The whole verse starts, be of the same mind or live in harmony with one another. That's what Greg's topics was last week, which will definitely overlap a lot with this week. ESV says, do not be haughty, our topic tonight, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And some of the different translations, underlined some things that kind of jumped out to me, some I thought were interesting ways of interpreting the verse. Don't think you know it all. Be willing to associate with people of low position. And the reason that in the New King James I underlined the word mind is because I don't know Greek, but from my search, that word mind is the same Greek word from what we talked about last week. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. I think the point there, to be of the same mind, to live in harmony, we cannot have a mind that is haughty. We can't have a mind that is above or thinks we're above everyone else and looking down on other people, because we can never really reach unity or be at harmony with others if we think everyone else needs to get up on our level. And something else that makes this topic vital thinking about if we're trying to hold everyone at our standard, think of the verse that says, you know, if we don't show mercy to others, that we're not going to have mercy shown to us. We're going to be judged using the same standard that we use. So if we have this mindset that we are wise in our own opinion, we've got all the answers in our own opinion, and we're holding everyone to our standard, then we might not be shown the mercy that we would like to be shown. So haughtiness prevents harmony. It's interesting that same Greek word that we just saw that was translated, be of the same mind in New King James, and don't set your mind on high things, is also found at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. If we look at right after the transformation verse, right here in verse 3, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That this word think is that same word translated mind in verse 16. So don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment. So don't have a mind that has the idea that you are above others, that your thoughts are better than others, but have a mind that thinks more humble with more sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And so starting off Romans 12 here in verse 3, we've got the same idea that, you know, we've got to get ourselves in place. We've got to get our own mind in the right perspective. And then he goes on, all these passages that we've been studying over the past few weeks, I think one of the main things that Paul keeps coming to is this idea of relationships and living in harmony with one another. We see in verse 4, in one body we have many members, and kind of expounding upon that, we need to use our gifts for building up others. We need to love one another, contribute to the needs of the saints, rejoice with those who rejoice. Again, live in harmony with one another. All these being tied to our relationships one with another, and we can never have the proper relationships if we have a haughty mind. So that ties it all together. So Paul's challenging the Romans to transform their relationships. So before we get into some discussion, you know, the NIV that I had up there earlier said, don't be proud, but at the same time, we know that a certain amount of pride is a good thing. If we don't have a healthy amount of pride, you know, we could struggle in certain ways. So I've got definition of pride is that feeling of pleasure or satisfaction that we all have whenever we have a sense of accomplishment, either from something that we've done or from people who are close to us. We can be proud of something our children or friends do. And then the first definition that came up when I typed in conceit was excessive pride. So pride is good, but excessive pride is not. Again, the definition for being haughty is feeling arrogant, feeling superior. And the idea of the Greek, the context that other context that this same Greek word was used is just when someone was on a mountaintop. That same idea of, you know, they were high above everyone else. So it's the idea of being up high and looking down upon others. If we find ourselves looking down upon others, then we probably struggle with excessive pride. So here's where I want y'all to help me out. If we can think about what leads us to have excessive pride, what makes us prideful, then maybe we can better control our pride. So what do y'all think? What makes us prideful? What things lead us to feeling a little too good about ourselves? Okay, so Paul definitely was proud because he had, in his case, his education. So that's the answer to what's one thing that can make us very prideful, and that's our education or our upbringing. It's intimidating to teach at Estes whenever everyone has come out of college or still in college and. Everybody knows their Bible really well. People have degrees and know a lot more than I do. So I think education is definitely one of the big temptations to start feeling maybe a little too good about ourselves sometimes. What else?
Power.
Definitely.
Money.
Yeah, the talents, the abilities that we have that are actually given to us by God in the first place. Ironically, we start feeling prideful about those things, Steve. Right, when we make a practice of relying on ourselves too much, we obviously put that confidence in our own abilities instead of relying on God. Todd? So sometimes just when we're met with a challenge, we want to just test ourselves. TJ spoke at Insight a couple weeks ago and kind of talking about this, how as men especially we like the challenge and we don't like asking for help. We want to do it all on our own to prove to ourselves or just so that we don't appear weak before other people. So some things that I wrote down, and some that have already been mentioned, the stuff that we have, the money, and the things that we buy with that money sometimes makes us feel good about ourselves, feel accomplished. Just because we have things that are a little bit more valuable than other people, we start kind of what we talked about last week a lot, and we compare ourselves with other people. If we have more or better things, we think about how we've earned them. We've worked hard, so we've earned a good car. We've worked hard, we've earned that extra fancy house. We feel entitled to it. Our degrees. Sometimes we get prideful just because of the routine that we get used to. Then when, just because that's the way we get used to it, we do that all the time, that we feel like that's the best way for us to do it. So then sometimes we think that's just how it ought to be done. And then when somebody challenges our traditions, our beliefs, our routine, sometimes it, depending on what it is, it might make the hairs on the back of our neck stand up a little bit, because somebody's challenging our way of life, our lifestyle. But I think most of the time the challenges to our pride are really centered around opinions. It could be opinions about politics, about parenting, about finances. Again, just because we think we've, a lot of times we've got it figured out in our minds how all these things ought to be run and handled, and when somebody disagrees with us, we might not like it. Where's Milton? Yeah, in addition of haughtiness preventing harmony, or pride preventing unity in the church, there's a lot of other things that pride will get in the way of, and one of those is our admitting our faults and our willingness to confess those things. So the next question, how does, in what ways or what context does haughtiness prevent harmony, or prevent us from having the relationships that we should have? Abby? Okay, so sometimes again, this idea of what conceit and haughtiness means, this idea of looking down upon people, and we might think we don't need to talk to certain types of people. Abby? Yeah, that what James Dalton talked about, empathy, and that's one of the big ones that I struggle with, is that idea of rejoicing with others who rejoice whenever someone, sometimes it's hard to admit, but sometimes you want other people to fail, or you don't want them to do as good as you do. You want them to do well, but maybe not as well as you, because you want to feel better. Comparing myself to others. So that would definitely get in the way of relationships. What else, Ben? It's hard to really listen to what people are saying when you already got all the answers, right? Yes. Right. That people felt pride based upon who led them to Christ, right? They each had that, they felt like a status or a group that they belong to, and they wanted to be part of the better group, and that definitely caused contention. Some other things I thought of are the context and ways that haughtiness prevents harmony in the marriage context. We like to play the blame game. If we feel like we've got the answers and we're not doing anything wrong, then we've got to find somebody to place the blame on. So that could definitely mess up any relationship pretty quickly. Think about in the work context. You probably don't really like having a really cocky boss, somebody who looks down upon you, or conceited colleagues. Not good for the workplace. What about in the Bible? In the context of the Bible, who had a reputation of being haughty, wise in their own eyes? All right, the Pharisees. I think they're the biggest group, probably it's notorious and looked, called out the most for having this haughty mindset. We're often quick to call them out, but let's make sure. I know it's something I think about a lot. Let's make sure we're not falling into the same category. Are we tempted to be arrogant spiritually as well, like the Pharisees? What do you think? I'd say, right, I think in the church this is a big struggle. I mean, if we are mission-minded, we want to be evangelistic, we want to reach out to people, right? So we have, in order to do that, we've got to, we try to cast judgments upon, okay, who do I need to reach out to? Are you good? Are you this person already saved? Or do I need to work on this person? Right, if it can definitely create a temptation to feel above everyone else. We all think. I thought of the verse, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. That's in 1 Corinthians 8, in the context of eating appropriate foods. And, Paul's writing, you can eat the foods that you want to, but, by your knowledge, you don't need to cause another brother to doubt or to sin. How there's a struggle, I think, in having the knowledge. In our case, we believe we have the knowledge that other people need to have to be saved. But at the same time, to not come across with a haughty attitude. So how can we make sure? And I think maybe this may be the most important question for us to think about tonight. How can we make sure we are not being like the Pharisees? How can we make sure we are not being that closed-minded know-it-all? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. If I asked the question, who in here throughout your lifetime has ever changed your belief or perspective on a spiritual or a biblical matter at any point in your lifetime, everybody would probably raise their hand, right? There's something that may happen in our lives that may give us a different perspective on something. There's a lot to be said about people's journey. A lot of times we even though we know that we have often changed our own minds about things, at any given time we're tempted to think that what we believe right now is the best thing. I mean, if we didn't, then we probably wouldn't believe it. At any given time, we feel like we've got the best answers, at least that we know how. But sometimes we try to force that or expect other people to be at the same place where we are. And we forget that we had a journey to get where we are as well. And there's a lot to be said about those learning points, learning opportunities that we came across throughout our journey. So instead of looking down upon other people because they're at a different place in their journey than we are in ours, we need to appreciate where everybody is and be willing to talk about where they are. David? Our mindset when we open God's Word is huge. I read something that says, you know, we need to make sure we're studying for transformation, not for information. Information or knowledge puffs up. It's a lot easier to study for information, though. We have to be a lot more intentional and proactive and willing to change in order to study for transformation. Yes, sir.
Your question is, how can we tell if we're too high in our thinking? That was the question. Probably the best answer is in John 13. Jesus was Lord and Master, and yet he was willing to wash feet. When I think that I'm not, when I am unwilling to do the lovely task,
yeah, that's definitely one thing that we can make ourselves do that will help keep us humble. Jesus, who did have all the answers and who was Creator and King, still humbled himself more than anyone else and was willing to even wash feet. Yes, Angela. It's easy for us to put labels on people based upon how they look, what they wear, and spiritually based upon, you know, what people believe. You know, we all, you know, there's this group, there's that group that believes this. Even within, you know, what we call the brotherhood, and there's this group of this type of Church of Christ and this type. But we need to, again, always try to keep ourselves in check and make sure that while we're doing that, putting labels on people, that we're not feeling like we're up here. Everybody else is down here because they don't have the same routines and traditions as we do, Frank. Right, we just sang "Humble Yourself" in the sight of the Lord, and the second verse was about God's amazing grace. And I think if the better we understand God's grace, the more humble we're gonna be. Yeah. Better wrap things up. This is what's been mentioned already. I think isn't this the answer to all 12 topics that we've discussed? How to be more transformed in any of these traits? Be close to Jesus. Have a closer relationship with Jesus and understand, you know, Philippians 2, how the Creator of the world humbled Himself, so it's possible to have all this knowledge and to still be willing to humble yourself and do to, as our verse says, to associate with the lowly. We've mentioned some of these as well, about how serious of an issue this is, how pride can get in the way of becoming all things to all men. It prevents us from admitting our faults, confessing them, admitting we need help. This next one's one that I struggle with. Since I'm a math teacher, everything's right or wrong. I like to have all the answers, but what about when I can't understand? Too much pride would prevent me to trust in God. Even when I don't understand, would prevent me from sympathizing and empathizing with others, and would make me blind to the truth if I think I already know it all. And what I mentioned earlier could ultimately prevent you from being shown mercy if you're not willing to show others mercy. Sometimes we start feeling too good about ourselves because of the things that we do. We go to church 3 times a week. We know our Bible. But sometimes we feel like we've got an A when we've done the wrong assignment. Like the Pharisees, again, they were, you know, as Paul said, he was blameless with respect to the law. But that wasn't the point. He missed the point. You know, like the people who were comparing themselves to others in Jesus' parable, saying, we deserve more than these other people who didn't work as long as us. Sometimes we miss the point. We're focused on the wrong assignment. Now's a time that we always set apart to request prayers. If you want to request prayers concerning anything we've talked about tonight or something that's just been on your mind throughout the day, you can take this opportunity as we stand and sing.